May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 962. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart, thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. 962.
Thank you.
Let us read from Isaiah chapter 42, the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honourable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth. For a spoil, and none saith restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
Pray for a spirit of prayer to be given us from above. Oh, that the dear Holy Spirit might come and indite true prayer within our breasts. Lord, and may each one be given that spirit of prayer, silently, if not publicly. Oh, we pray that we may find access to the ear of the Most High. Lord, wilt thou remember us in our lowest state? And Lord, as we approach unto thee, may it be Jesus Christ is seed instead of us, our surety, our daysman, the one that stands between, that lays his hand upon both, a holy, heart-searching God and a poor sinner. Oh, to know that his righteousness is seen instead of our unrighteousness. Lord, we plead his name. We long to know that this dear Jesus is our Jesus, our Saviour and our friend, that he gave his life for us, that he came down from heaven, left the bright throne of realms of bliss, left his throne with the Father, that he might suffer, bleed and die to put away our sins. Oh, we do beg of thee, Lord, that the dear Holy Spirit might open our eyes to these things, open our eyes to our awful state before thee, who canst not look upon sin, and open our eyes to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we have read that thou wilt open the eyes of the blind, that thou wilt bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and we plead those things and ask that thou wilt do it for us. Lord, that thy Spirit may come and that we may have Christ revealed in our hearts, the hope of glory. Oh, we do long to know him. Our desire is that we might know our sins are pardoned, that we're among thy dear children, that thou hast prepared a place for us for eternity, a mansion in the heavens. Lord, but oh, it's so different with us. And often we wonder, am I his or am I not? Hast thou granted eternal life in thy dear Son? Hast thou quickened our souls? Hast thou called us by thy grace? Oh, do grant us each grace to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith or no. How solemn the outcome. Lord, it is either heaven or hell. There is nothing between. And when we come to die, we must go to one place or the other. And as the tree falls, so it shall lie. So prepare us for our end. Prepare us for a never-ending eternity. prepare us to stand before thy judgment seat. O Lord, speak the word only. O do come, remember our souls. We mourn because of sin, because of the power of it, because of the power of Satan, because of our faults under his temptations. Lord, what wicked hearts we have that go with those temptations. But create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. O grant us that life divine that we so seek after, and may we hear thy voice and rejoice at thy presence. Lord, when thou dost speak with that still small voice, what a change it makes. Some of us hope we have known it in time past. We cannot forget those times. But oh, come again. And those things that have sorely grieved thee, Lord, and caused thee to depart from us, oh, we pray that thou wilt open our eyes to them, and that we may be given grace to run in the way of thy commandments, when thou dost enlarge our heart. So we pray, Lord, for that separating grace that will take our affections from all things here below and set them on things above. In mercy, soften our hard hearts. Take away the heart of stone. Give us the heart of flesh. Lord, these are great things that we ask of thee. They are in thy hand alone to give. We cannot work anything of ourselves, though oft we have tried to do our own things. Lord, we cannot. Sin is mixed with all we do. But, O Lord, in mercy do it for us. Cause that love to thee and to thy ways, that tender spirit that would not grieve the Holy One of Israel. O, enable us, Lord, to look to thee and to bring our cares unto thee, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, and prove thee a faithful and unchanging God, that thou dost hear the cry of the destitute. Lord, we pray that thou wilt not forsake us now. We especially pray for each one gathered here, that each one may know the powerful work of the Holy Ghost within, to convince of sin, to convince of righteousness, to convince of judgment to come, and to lead to the only source of help in Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. Oh, may we know him as the friend of sinners. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember the dear young ones among us. We specially pray for them as they grow up into life, and that they may not be left to be drawn away by the enticements of this wicked world, but thou wilt create in them a clean heart and renew a right spirit within them. Do help them to stand, Lord, as we each need thy help. May we be upheld by thy righteous, omnipotent hand. And Lord, when we are falling, hear our cry for help. Save, Lord, or I perish. And do in mercy then draw near and speak to our souls that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness thou hast drawn us. We would specially commend to thee those who cannot gather with us today, Lord, that all things are known unto thee. Thou knowest where their hearts are. And we ask that thou wilt bless them where they are and remember them in all their needs. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou who dost make crooked things straight will make the crooked things in our lives straight and the crooked things in their lives straight also. We commend to thee our dear aged friends who cannot gather with us now in their affliction and being brought down to the gates of death. And we pray that thy presence may go with them and that thou wilt give them rest. Lord, before us each is that never-ending eternity. Oh, grant us a right understanding of what it means. We do desire to thank thee for thy many mercies toward us, Lord, and that we still have a house of prayer and that we may meet around thy word and that we have an open Bible. Lord, but do speak to us from thy holy word, and as it is read or as we read it, may it read us. Oh, may we find there those things that shall instruct our souls in righteousness. When there is reproof, may we be given grace to fall under it. When there are the consolations of the gospel, may they be applied in our hearts. Lord, we have not one of thy servants this morning, but we pray that thou wilt remember our brother and help him to read that which has been preached before. And the power is thine to take the word and to fasten it in our hearts. O Lord, do it, we pray. Do not leave us to go out as we have come in. May there be something done. May we be given a tender and a contrite heart that trembleth at thy word. And Lord, may we go away and beat out that which we have gleaned, meditate upon the things that we have heard. Oh, may the dear Spirit speak to our souls in it. And so we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless many here today, and may all the honour and all the glory flow to thy holy name. And may there be many souls that feel like this. What if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call thy people? Prevent it by thy grace. Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place. And so, Lord, now we ask, wilt thou remember us in the nation, in all the things that beset us? Lord, thy hand is seen, but men will not see, for they are blinded to it, and they go on determinedly against thee, against thy ways, against thy holy word. Lord, do enable us to pray for those that rule over us. But as we have so often prayed, Lord, all things are known unto thee. Thou knowest the end from the beginning. Thou knowest, Lord, the hearts of every man, and the heart of every man is in thy control. And none can say unto thee, what doest thou? So we pray, Lord, turn the hearts of those who reign over us. We pray that thou wilt turn them to thy holy word, that thou, thy Spirit, may cause them to work those things which are pleasing in thy sight. and not contrary to thy holy word. And we specially pray that thou wilt work in our government. Those wicked things that still are brought before us, before the people, which they would turn into law. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that they may be frustrated in their wicked designs, that they may be caused to fall before thy holy mind and will. Lord, we pray, do remember thy poor afflicted flock that would not have it so. Do hear the cries. Lord, we are weak. We are sinful worms, not worthy that thou shouldest hear, but do these great things. For thy name's sake we pray. We remember thy servant, whom we hope to hear this evening. We pray that thou wilt grant him strength through the day, that thou wilt bring him here with a word from the Lord, and that each one may come up with this in their hearts. Is there no word from the Lord? And Lord, may they each one that comes up thus get an answer to do them good. O Lord, we bow before thee now. It is thy help we need, thy Spirit to work in our hearts, in our midst, that thou wilt remember each one in their cases, and especially, Lord, those things that have been laid at thy footstool before this service. And Lord, help. How many of us have to cry, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. We come as sinners. We have no other help but thee. Pardon us now, receive us graciously, bless us if thy holy good pleasure, and if it might be thy holy will, may not one soul be left out. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure unerring light, on thee my feeble soul I stay, which thou canst lead aright. 1059. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Raven. And you will find the text in the chapter we read, Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. Isaiah 42, verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. You remember on one occasion during our Lord's ministry upon earth, certain of the Pharisees said, "Are we blind also?" And the Lord said, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth. It is far better to be confessing our blindness and our ignorance than to be pretending to know a great deal when we know nothing at all aright. There are some who boast great things, pretend to great knowledge of gospel mysteries, yet with all their pretensions, they know nothing at all in reality, and their pretending to know so much and to see so much only heightens their guiltiness. The hymn writer says, 'Better a babe that would be wise than those who mind high things, whose long profession scorns advice, those old and foolish kings.'" There are one or two narratives in the New Testament that to me have seemed very full of teaching in this matter. We think first of all of the case of the Ethiopian eunuch. How that when Philip said to him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" he answered, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" He very frankly confessed his ignorance. He did not pretend to know anything. He did not try in pride of heart to cover up his ignorance, but he frankly owned it. Oh, what a hopeful case, and what a good issue the case had, how that man came under the blessing of God. Then you remember the man who had been born blind, and his eyes had been opened by the Lord. And because he would confess what Christ had done for him, and would not be beaten out of it, they had cast him out of the synagogue. Jesus knew that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And the man replied, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" He did not pretend to knowledge which he did not possess, but frankly owned his ignorance and his limitations. See what a good issue his case had. The Lord said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And with those words went such light and power into the man's soul that he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. The apostle says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Oh, may the Lord give us a childlike simplicity, make us willing to be taught, willing to confess what know nothings we really are, that we know nothing as we ought to know it, and that we are absolutely dependent upon the precious teaching of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said of the Spirit of truth, "He shall guide you into all truth." And there is no right soul-profiting entrance into any truth of the gospel save by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You may gather together a quantity of gospel notions. Good creeds may stop your head around, but in your heart no faith be found. But better far be feeling the destitute of any right knowledge, and be crying out to the Lord, "What I see not, teach thou me," than make a mere pretense. Well, here the Lord has a kindly word for these blind people. These people who feel like those described in the word, we grope for the wall like the blind, we are in desolate places as dead men. Do you know what it is to feel that you are groping after something that you cannot get at? That you want the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and yet can by no means attain to it? The more you strive after the knowledge of him, the further you feel from it. You grope for the wall like the blind. Well, the Lord has spoken a kindly word to these blind people. These people who feel and confess how blind they are, how ignorant they are, how unbelieving they are, how unlike true Christians they are. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Oh, he will, in infinite compassion, in tender mercy, take these people in hand, these blind folk who have no one to care for them. It is the Lord himself who says, "I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not." And thus they will be encouraged to seek his guidance. Lord, I am blind, be thou my sight. I will bring the blind. No one else can do it. The Lord speaks of some as blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. It is unwise to follow the guidance of man. The only safe guidance is that of the Lord himself. The best of men may err. Even apostles make mistakes in some cases. We read how one baptized Simon Magus and a number of false characters managed to deceive the Lord's apostles, but the Lord is not deceived, and he is a safe guide. May we then be helped to commit ourselves to him for guidance. I, said he, will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Now a blind man may get on tolerably well in a way with which he is familiar, in a district which he knows well. I remember once when in London trying to find a certain place. I asked two or three people who could see if they could direct me to the place, but none of them could help me. At last a blind man who was passing heard what I wanted, and he gave me directions which I followed, and soon reached the place I wanted. But if that same blind man had been put down in a place that he was not familiar with, he would have been quite unable to guide his own steps, let alone give directions to another. So you see the force of that. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, an unfamiliar way, a way that they are complete strangers to. This way, in which the Lord will lead the blind, is the gospel way. We have been singing of the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, and he says of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And these blind people, who feel and know and confess their blindness, who do not pretend to be anything but poor blind people, he will guide them. He will bring them this way, a way which they knew not, a way in which they could not possibly walk, but by his leading. They shall walk in Christ the living way, and fight and win the well-fought day. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Oh, what a strange way it is when the Spirit of God is leading a poor sinner to Christ, causing him to walk in him. What a strange way it is. What contradictions a man has to meet with. What a puzzle it all is to him, until the Lord interprets the matter to him. How strange is the course that a Christian must steer. How perplexed is the path he must tread. The hope of his happiness rises from fear, and his life he receives from the dead. A strange path the believer has to walk in. A strange path one who is seeking after Jesus has to walk in. One said, his fairest pretensions must wholly be waived, and his best resolutions be crossed, nor can he expect to be perfectly saved till he finds himself utterly lost. This is the way in which the Lord leads his people, a way in which self is being continually brought to nothing, that the Lord Jesus Christ alone may be exalted in that day. As a man is led by the Spirit thus to seek the Lord, what opposition he meets with. He meets with the opposition of his own carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity, and he meets with the opposition of the devil. He often will say, all these things are against me. He is often brought into places where he knows not what to do, where he feels completely beaten, where he has to suffer the loss of all things, the things that he fondly clung to and built his hopes upon, all have to go. This is a strange way to him, to have to part with all his hopes of being saved by his own righteousness, justified by anything in himself or done by him, to have to part with all that, to be brought down to this, to be a poor sinner and nothing at all. A limping beggar clothed with rags, disgraceful and forlorn. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. This is a very humbling way, a way in which there is continual mortification of the pride of a man's heart. Jesus is the way of strength, yet the strong this way can't come. Human strength has to be brought down to nothing. Out of weakness his people are made strong. The Lord helps the infirmities of his people, not some fancied strength or ability which they have, but their infirmities, and they are brought to know something of this, as Hart says, every moment be receiving strength, and yet be always weak. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and instead of the light which they hoped would break in upon them, they often find the darkness deepens. Instead of finding, as they fondly hope, that they get better and better by slow degrees, they find that they get worse and worse. Instead of being led into peace, they find what Hezekiah found, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. A strange path this to walk in. Oh, how it completely baffles the wisdom of the flesh. A poor man cannot see what the Lord is doing. Yet what the Lord is doing is this, cutting a man off from everything as a ground of hope, that he may build only upon Christ. There is a digging through all the rubbish of nature, that no rubbish of nature may stand between the soul and Christ. I will bring the blind by a way which they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known, paths so strange to them that they know not which way to turn. They will need to have that word fulfilled to them that Isaiah heard. Thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And they will for this have to wait upon God. It is not at all a bad thing to be so ignorant, so unable to guide your own course as to be driven to wait upon God continually for his merciful guidance, for his strong and kindly arm. We sometimes sing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand." Oh, how strange this all is to the soul who is walking in this path. He cannot understand it. He is utterly perplexed. But the Lord says, "I will bring the blind." And when the Lord has matters in hand, he is sure to lead to a good issue. Perplexed a soul may be, emptied from vessel to vessel, and his fondest hopes may be torn away from him, but the Lord will bring, the Lord will lead. Sometimes we sing a very precious hymn in which are these words, "Foolish and impotent and blind, lead me the way thy saints have known. Bring me where I my heaven may find, the heaven of loving thee alone. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known." You look at the path that Bunyan had to walk in, and many others of God's saints who have been made wonderfully useful to the Church of the Living God. Think what Bunyan had to pass through. What a scene of terrific temptation. A way that he knew not, paths that he did not know. Oh, how the poor man suffered being tempted, tempted of the devil, driven hither and thither, scattered in his feelings, in a path he did not know. He could not tell what the Lord was doing, yet the Lord was all the time wisely ordering things for him. He sat as a refiner and purifier of silver. He was accomplishing his own gracious purposes in a man who was destined to be a most useful servant in his day. Bunyan was able to record how the Lord brought him out, how he brought him out of the horrible pit and the miry clay and set his feet upon a rock and established his going, put a new song in his mouth, even praise to his God. That long season, 3 years it was, of temptation, was of immense service to John Bunyan, for it was the means of giving him an understanding of the cases of other tempted people. You remember when Bunyan applied to an ancient Christian, hoping to get some help, some encouragement? Instead of getting help and encouragement, the man, who seemed to be a stranger to much temptation, said he thought he must have committed the unpardonable sin. Now Bunyan would have been no better counsellor than that, one may say, had it not been for his experience of such terrific temptation. It had a great deal to do with making him the good servant of Jesus Christ that he was, enabling him to speak for the comfort of God's people, and he, being dead, yet speaketh. So the Lord is accomplishing his own purposes. He is teaching his people, here a little and there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. He is teaching them, and not one line is in vain. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. Oh, how this answers exactly to what they feel to need. Who is among you, says the Lord? Who is among you that feareth the Lord, and that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. And you know, one mark of those who fear God is that they dread a false light. They want nothing but the true light, that light that comes from God himself, which God alone can shed upon their path and upon their case. This is what they want, and therefore until they get it, they walk in darkness. They dread the thought of kindling a fire of their own and walking in the light of their own fire and of the sparks which they have kindled. For they know from the word of God that the ultimate end of such is that they shall lie down in sorrow. I will make darkness light before them. They come into dark dispensations. They cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take. Soul matters look dark, and God only can make that darkness light. When it is darkness in soul matters, when a poor man can get no light upon his case, when he can say of light not a beam, of love not a spark, oh, how he wants the light to shine. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon me. Cause thy face to shine, and I shall be saved. Do you know what it is to long for the light of his countenance, that he would cause his face to shine upon you? I will make darkness light. And one said, suddenly stands confessed, we look, and all is light. Oh, what a glad day it is, what a blessed day, a day to be remembered when the Lord says in effect, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. When he shines and dispels the darkness, when he bids the darkened cloud withdraw, gives that faith that climbs the ladder Jacob saw, nothing meets the soul's case fully but the revelation of Jesus Christ. I will make darkness light before thee. Then see how dark Jacob's path was providentially. Said he, all these things are against me. And everything looked as black could be. But the Lord made darkness light before him. In due time, matters were cleared up, and Jacob's gloomy conclusions were proved to be unfounded. Joseph was yet alive, and Jacob's eyes were favoured to look again upon his son and to rejoice in his son's prosperity. He saw that the hand of God had been working in all his seemingly adverse circumstances, and how wonderful he saw the work of God to be. The angel that redeemed me from all evil. So it is with God's people. As the dealings of God with them are very strange and seem very contrary, they are utterly perplexed and know not how to interpret their case. But when the Lord shines upon their path, then everything appears in perfect order. Wisdom and mercy guide my way. Shall I resist them both? A poor blind creature of a day and crushed before the moth. I will make darkness light before them. Sometimes he does that by speaking a word or applying a promise. A promise that exactly meets the case, that has in its bosom just that blessing and that mercy and that grace that they so sorely stand in need of. Wonderful it is when some sweet promise warms our heart and cheers us under every care. For it is the Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. I will make darkness light, said the Lord. So he causes his word to shine with a clear and sweet light upon a poor sinner's dark path. The man looks, and there is a springing up of hope. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. Do you know what crooked things are? Have you a crook in your lot? A thing that you cannot straighten. For who can make straight that which God has made crooked? Now if you have a crook in your lot, it is very important that you should be enabled to acknowledge that God has made it. This is God's handiwork. God has put this crook into my lot. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. And if he puts a crook in the lot of any of his children, he has a wise purpose to serve. He designs their profit in it and his glory. But this crooked thing is meant to be crooked. His people are meant to feel it is a crook. A cross is meant to be a cross. It has to be a cross to do the work God has designed it shall do. The crook has to be a crooked thing that God may exercise the soul in that way that he designs it to be exercised. Now it is a great thing, I say, to see the hand of God in a crook, whatever may be the secondary cause of it. You may look to this person or the other. You may look to this secondary cause and that secondary cause. But we make a sad mistake if we look not beyond all these causes to God himself. Job was right when he said, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Now he who makes the crook alone can make the matter straight. And I will tell you one way in which he does it, and that is, he reconciles a poor man to his crook. As I think Thomas Boston puts it in his Crook in the Lot, he makes the mind even with the crook, and a man is reconciled to the crook, it ceases to be a crook. And all is right that seems most wrong, if it be his sweet will. Thus he makes the crooked thing straight. Besides that, the Lord has a wonderful way in his own time of making crooked things straight. There may be a very crooked person you have to deal with, and many of God's people have found that the Lord is able to make crooked people straight. A man may have to work side by side with another who is a constant cause of annoyance to him, is continually seeking to injure him or to cause him discomfort and distress. But the Lord is able, when a man's ways please him, to make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Sometimes those who have been the cause of the greatest annoyance to a child of God have been completely altered as to their attitude and have never been a trouble to them again. You remember the late Charles James of Sevenhampton, a little record of whom we published. One of his fellow workmen used to annoy him very considerably by following with a truck very closely and pushing upon his heels. After a while of enduring this annoyance in silence, the two men were together at dinner time, and this man said to Charles James, "You have got something that I have not got." "What do you mean?" said James. "Why, look at the way I've treated you, and yet you've done nothing and said nothing." And from that day, the man never ill-treated him again. The Lord took that crooked man in hand and straightened him as far as Charles James was concerned. Wonderful is his work with his people, and the crook will only last so long as the Lord sees it necessary for their profit, that they may be well exercised thereby, that they may have an errand to the throne of grace, that they may have a proper sense of their need of grace. For when one has got a crook in his lot, he needs a good deal of grace to enable him to walk rightly under it. God's people, as they have these crooks and crosses, are caused to be silent when they realize how sinful they are under the weight and the incommodity of them. Oh, how rebellion arises, how unbelief works, even in the best of men, and they find ill will against their fellows and a whole host of things. All these things become a man's grief and are turned into confession. Lord, do help me to walk under my daily cross in a man becoming godliness. Enable me to walk believingly and submissively under it. Ah, this is a good exercise. And that cross is not doing a man much harm. That crook is not really hurting you much, if it is a means of thus drawing you near to God. This Asaph found when he confessed, "It is good for me to draw near to God." That which was the occasion of his drawing near to God was a very uncomfortable experience, very unpleasant to him. But see how God made darkness light before him and crooked things straight. Everything that seemed so crooked was straightened out beautifully before his view. He saw his portion was in heaven, even the Lord himself. "Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Wonderful it is when the Lord gives his people a sight of himself as their portion, how that leads them above their worries, their anxieties, their crosses, their perplexities, their annoyances, leads them completely out of them and enables them to rejoice in the Lord as their portion with joy unspeakable at times and full of glory. "And crooked things straight, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. The Lord has said it, and his words are faithful words and true. These things will I do unto them." These poor blind people, these helpless people who can do nothing for themselves and are quite unable to straighten their own crooks and are often at their wits' end, "These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." Oh, what a great word is that, "and not forsake them." O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. The Lord has said Israel shall not be forsaken of his God, and the apostle reminds us of an Old Testament promise when he writes, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." May the Lord enable us to build our hopes upon his word. May he lead us to himself in our times of perplexity, when we are walking in darkness and have no light, when we cannot find our path, know not which way to take, nor what to do. May the Lord lead us to himself for direction, for strength, for light, for teaching, for all we stand in need of, for he is all sufficient. May the Lord add his blessing.
Collections last Lord's Day were £800, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach this evening, and next weekend Mr. Gerald Buss will preach at the Thanksgiving services on Saturday at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Gadsby Christmas Fund, and he will also preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 183. "By covenant, transaction and blood, says Jesus, my people are mine. Their sin-bearing victim I stood, yea, for them my life did resign. The curse of the law I sustained, did them from all cursing set free, that when by stern justice arraigned, the sinner should look unto me." Hymn 183. Thank you.
and think of all these things. Lord, who grant us submission to all thy wisdom. Oh, grant us more. Oh, help us. Look at the various things we may be. Oh, to see thy hand. Lord, we pray that I will get made those crooked things. Lord, oh, who grant us real repentance. Oh, for our many sins. Oh, do Lord, help us to fall before. Oh, do grant us, Lord, that sorrow for us. To keep our eyes on Jesus, that they're our hopes to stand. Oh, Lord, do bless that which we have. Be with us now as we do gather the children this afternoon. Grant help there, Lord, those that teach. Pray that there may be something done, that there may be that bread cast upon the woods to be found after many days. Lord, we do pray that thy servant expected us. Oh, do help him. Lord, do give him a word to bring with you. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that there may be some done this day to thy honour and glory. Lord, thou knowest the needs of each. Oh, we pray, Lord, that all that